Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guests are Taki and Sean. I've had Sean on the show before. He's got a lot of insight about a lot of things, alien, military, geopolitical, cryptid-wise. Taki has a lot of experiences. Let me read you a bit about her bio. With a unique birth story, she was born with part of her consciousness outside her body and remains tapped into other frequencies and dimensional planes. She would frequently leave her body at night and experience psychic and paranormal activity regularly in her home. Then, combined with MK-Ultra-like experiences and military-like settings, while in the astral, she began astrally shape-shifting into a wolf and werewolf forms. This also came to include astrally working with a small coalition of human and non-human entities with a common goal to assist and protect both humanity and the Earth. Her notable experiences include viewing future potential timelines, dealing with negative forces between herself and her group's missions, and being given an assortment of information from benevolent sources that explain the nature of reality and the structure of the universe. She now works as a psychic energy healer and uses her experiences to help others in their own healing and psychic development, and hopes that sharing publicly will help others by bringing clarity to a chaotic and confusing point in time. That's quite a bio, and I'm really excited about this segment. So, without any further ado, Taki and Sean, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank
Thank
you for
you.
having me.
Well, whoever wants to start, Sean, I've had you on before. Why don't you give us an update about what's going on, and tell me also how you and Taki came to know one another, and thank you for referring. I don't know if she was already aware of my work, but definitely, you played a key role in bringing her together with the Cosmic Switchboard Show. So, just tell us a bit about how that whole process unfolded.
Well, I had gone to another channel called Paranormal Roundtable and did a several series about kind of everything I've gone through to that point. And at near the end of it, Taki actually reached out in the comment section on a different live stream and was actually wanting to reach out to me. So I came on quickly and I was notified, and we began chatting. So we shared information and began chatting afterwards, and turns out Taki finally felt she had wanted to come forward because she had experienced so many things quite similar in a similar fashion, and I would say a bit more in depth. And so she decided that she had to come out and begin sharing her story because I had come out and shared mine, and that it was probably about time that this information began coming out to the public about just the sheer nature and depth of reality is not what we think it is, at least within the mainstream. And so we began communicating. We've been chatting for goodness, it has to be at least 3 months, if not more, 3, 4 months. And just we've had a few experiences together. We've shared tons of information, stuff I didn't know about. We've helped each other out, and I've learned a bit more about myself during that time. So it's been really good to get to know each other.
Taki, tell us a bit about your voyage of discovery, how you came to the realization, probably at an early age, that something relatively unusual is happening compared to your peers, and just, yeah, your voyage of discovery, if you don't mind.
And also likewise, Sean, thank you. If anyone ever asks why such a weirdo is on the internet, it's your fault. I heard his story and I was like, wow, that's pretty similar. So I guess I better say something too. As far as me figuring out that like something's wrong is pretty much, from the time I was born and I was a toddler. I mentioned in the P I've started doing episode recordings with PRT. And we're kind of taking things like chronologically and discussing topics throughout there. When I was a toddler, I would go play outside and I kept trying to shape shift into animals. I kind of figured out at a time that it wasn't working, and I'm like, why can't I do this anymore? And then I started watching the animals in my yard, and I would watch how they would move and the sounds they would make. And then I thought that if I can replicate the sounds and the movements perfectly, that eventually it would work and I would shape shift into them. And that escalated, as I aged. I only watched TV about animals, and I only read about animals as strictly like biology, zoology. And by the time I was, I think, 7 years old or so, my mom sat me down and she's like, "You have to stop." Like, when I would play as a kid, I would just try to imitate animals. She's like, "You have to stop doing that. There's like, it's too weird or something." And I told her that like I should be able to do that, and that I could still like talk to animals or hear them and understand their energy essentially, but that I was having trouble turning into them and that I should be able to do that. And so eventually I got so depressed and I told her, I was like, "Well, when I die, I can do it again." And then she was like, "No, it doesn't work like that." And I believed her because she was my mom. And so then I just like sobbed and stayed depressed for a long time as a child. And that was kind of the process to my awakening of like, I knew something went wrong. I started figuring that out when I was a toddler, and I was like, "Why can't I change?" And everything felt very alien to me. And that's kind of my progression into realizing, like, oh, like my parents and other people in this world have a very different idea of how the world works, and I have to start trying to fit into that somehow. So.
The subject of dogmen and werewolves lichens is common in our field, and also kudos to Josh Turner and his great crew because they put this subject front and center. The issue of dogmen has come up between the both of you because you've talked about the ability later when you were in the astral to shapeshift. Sean, why don't you tell us, remind our audience once again about some of your werewolf-like and shape-shifting experiences, just to like a refresher course to remind people of what you've been through.
Well, I've not gone through any of the actual shape-shifting stuff. That's all tacky. I did want to say with her kind of early life memories, it does share similarity to when I woke up at the age of 9, didn't know my family's name or my own name, but had like an instruction manual in my head going, "Okay, I need to go downstairs, okay, and learn everybody's name." So that is a very strange similarity. So it's definitely, without question, it's definitely a pre-existence to this life for these people who are, as tacky is kind of quote the term, ensouled. And that's a whole other thing we get into, but to your comment there, no, I've not had any shapeshifting stuff, but I have seen these, whether the dogmen or werewolves, several times. Sometimes out in the wilderness, I have photos of them. I have one on film. I've had them visit my house and kind of semi-terrorize me. I have seen one when I was very, very young. I had manifested in my room, and I had gone to a center that was for taking care of wolves and stuff like that, kind of like a tourist spot, just a small off the road tourist spot. It wasn't something a major attraction, but young kid, and I was paying a donation to them because I liked wolves as a kid, right? So definitely, I've encountered these beings and entities, but Taki is someone who's the first person I've met who's talked about actually shape-shifting to into one and out to one, who I've personally met. I have seen other shows where people have informed the talker about such experiences, like former PRT.
Well, let me share you really quickly one. Well, I had two major dogmen experiences, one in the physical and one in the astral dreamscape. And I'll talk about the astral dreamscape one real quick. It was an interesting dream. It wasn't really a dream. I found myself in what I perceived to be a kitchen in a house I'd never been to before. And there were some dishes there that needed to be washed. So the impulse to start washing dishes was strong in me, right? I was thinking, well, this is a messy kitchen. I don't know where I am, and I don't even know why I'm here. But so automatically I'm kind of in a quandary kind of state. It's like, what am I doing there? The place is a mess. And I think what happens sometimes also in these astral dreamscape scenarios, sometimes it's intended, whatever entity or forces at work trying to put us ill at ease, they'll put us in like a really dirty, kind of disgusting kind of environment sometimes. I don't want to digress and delve into that too much, take too much time. But generally speaking, people like us, we tend to be on the hygienic side. We tend to be very cleanly for the most part. So when we're put in a scenario where there's a little bit of clutter and what have you, it can be kind of off-putting for us, right? So here I am in this house and I'm at the kitchen and there's some dishes that need to be washed. And then looking out the window, the kitchen window, there was a wide alleyway. And in the wide alleyway strode a large, upright, bipedal, lack of a better term, dog man. But this dog man looked a little different than from what is commonly described. And there's several different types of dog men, as you know, hyena looking types, some that look very much like German shepherds in the head, and others that look like classical werewolves. Well, this one was very robust, and its head I can only liken to, and I think I'm getting the breed right. It's like those Chinese chow dogs with the big manes, right? If you, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it could be a different breed I'm thinking about. But this particular dog breed had the big, thick manes, right? And that's what this dog man had. And I'm freaking out. And next thing you know, whereas there was a kitchen window and walls, and presumably this house I was in that separated me and the dog man in the alleyway, now the walls became transparent. And I could see this entity clearly from head to foot, head to, foot. And now it was pacing back and forth, and it was holding, I think, I can't remember if it was a right or a left hand, it was holding one of those large, lack of a better term, power tools you see in the Egyptian reliefs of like some neater, some
Oh,
kind
wow.
of, yeah, some kind of god or goddess holding like an oversized ankh or something along those lines. But in this case, this dog man, chow-headed dog man, was holding a very large, looked like a key, right? So there was a lot of metaphors to the dream as well. Now, if I had been in the state of mind I'm in now, I would have said, okay, there's some kind of communication at work here. I'm going to try to discern what it is this dog man wants from me, what kind of message he's trying to convey. No. My state of mind was, well, what happened to my walls? And then pretty soon, even the pretense of the kitchen windows disappeared. Now it was just me and him in the alleyway. And so I'm not thinking, oh, what is the key a metaphor about? What's this
Right.
being trying to convey to me? I was extremely frightened, right? I hate to say it. I know I could have made a lot more out of the experience than I did, but I was in a state of fear. And thankfully, this being picked that up. It didn't make any kind of threatening advances towards me. It kept its distance. And it stopped pacing back and forth, and it just kind of stood there holding this oversized key in its hand. And then at the time, I thought, well, thankfully I woke up from that, right? Or the dream shifted or whatever. But I woke up with a start because the memory of it was still fresh in my mind. I know it was not a dream. I've had, like yourselves, I had many, many astral experiences, many astral dreamscape experiences. So I knew at some level, in this multiverse, it was a very real objective experience. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. But Tacky, anywhere you want to go with this, because you had so much happen to you throughout your life, childhood experiences. You told us earlier about how you were trying to mimic animals and trying to kind of take on some of their attributes. Could you take it from there about your experiences and when the real phenomena started kicking in your life, and when these intrusions and what have you from various sources started to kick in?
Well, I did kind of like part of my energy working, right? I do a lot of meditation. Some people might call it channeling or mediumship. I'm okay with that, but I'm hesitant to put a lot of labels on myself because it can mean really different things to other people. But part of that is I'll actively get information sometimes just throughout the day, or I can just ask a question in my head and the data will come through. Sometimes I'll go into meditations and I will walk through scenarios very vividly in my mind's eye, pretty much like dreaming while awake, or even sort of like astral projection while awake, but I'm just sitting in meditation, in that type of like altered state of consciousness. And so in one of those a while ago, I went to my consciousness origin point and just kind of walked through those memories and integrating that. And I pretty much was part of another planet's consciousness that is like a sister to Earth. However, that's just how it was explained to me. So they have the same frequency and the same female mother energy patterning, and a library planet as well, so the keeper of species and things like that. And I branched off under the job or programming, if you will, of monitoring the life on the planet. So I was formless. I was just a consciousness that had no form, but I was able to swim through everything. So I would just do that for, I guess, years, even though time and space work differently, but on another frequency or dimensional plane. I existed on this planet and I would go into different animal bodies and into different plants, and I would pretty much take that data and bring it back to the planet's consciousness, and you know, the planet would, however she wanted to, analyze it and adjust things and whatever. And that just evolved into me favoring, I guess, like the animal kingdom and looking after different animal species. And it was eventually that I guess you would call it like my mother planet or something, gave the opportunity for me to go to Earth to do the same job. And so I did that. The timeline for Earth at that point was really far back, like very, very, very far back. But I don't know that I consistently stayed around Earth because I do think there's like huge gaps in my incarnation. But I pretty much did that job, and then eventually it was either like I was kind of told or given the option, like, hey, you should probably start actually incarnating and not just being free-flowing like that, even though it's a lot nicer being like formless and, you know, choosing the bodies that you go into or how you manifest and just being like free with it. But it was like, you know, for my evolution, I should start incarnating. And I think I may have incarnated into a few different animal kingdoms for a while, but eventually I agreed to join the human incarnation groups. It's like its own sort of energy field. And so, you know, I did that. I built up different people or beings that were also incarnating into humans. We built really close, like soul connections and kind of built a spirit family that way. In other words, like I kind of got memory of that. And I feel like that kind of bridged, you know, I don't have full memory of the exact like everything that happened, but to me, that kind of bridged the wolf and werewolf transformations that I started experiencing out of body as I got older. I think I was about like I was around age 11. I can't remember exactly when I first in an astral plane shape shifted into a wolf. And to make it brief, because I know you probably have some questions, I started being taken out of my body when I was young and having very negative experiences. So I wasn't astral projecting on my own will a lot of the time. I was feeling myself fall asleep, and I would feel like a jerk or being pulled really sharply. And then I would be in another space. And it was pretty much just different variations of putting me into a state of terror and just being like tortured and traumatized by scenarios, or sometimes there would be multiple beings, mostly one being. I guess I had like a main handler in that way in this space, but they always cloaked what they looked like. So it was kind of pretty much like predator cloaking is how they appeared. So I could see that there's like a tall humanoid shape, but that they were preventing me from seeing them. And I think it was so I didn't remember who they were or could have any sense of their identity when I woke up. And so I was routinely taken and tortured like this. And this is where the MK Ultra like experiences come in, because as I grew older and read about those projects, I realized how very similar those out of body experiences were to, you know, what they purportedly do to children in real life in these projects. And it was my desire to run and get away from being tortured that eventually, around age 11, I guess it triggered something in me, some type of survival thing. And I transformed into a wolf and just ran away. But I didn't just start running in the form of a wolf. I kind of broke through this like light barrier wall, dimensional wall, and I was in a totally other space, and then I was okay. And so that's part of things that I started doing in the wolf and werewolf form. Not just fighting, but there's something where I can run, but I can alter, I guess, dimensional planes and spaces and barriers and get through them. So yeah, I'll let you ask some questions.
No, that was all key information, and feel free to elaborate more if you'd like. I mean, you're such an involved story that sometimes in the details, so we can divine all kinds of nuance and meaning from an outside perspective. There's going to be like light bulbs going off with some of the things you say. Now, as far as the trauma aspect of it was concerned, how long do you believe that that happened? And it seemed you feel to have happened in another aspect of reality, another dimensional space, or how did that play out, it seemed?
Yeah, this is the interesting part. So technically, that type of experience, that type of MK Ultra sort of trauma and torture scenarios, that did start when I was really young, like maybe as young as like 4 years old. I think as soon as I was born, but I think my brain's ability to remember dreams in out of body at that point, those connections weren't as solid. But I did develop recall very early. In my experience talking with other people, I have very, very good recall from anything astral between when I'm asleep, experiencing it, and then waking up. So I do think that started really young. And it wasn't necessarily like humanoids. Like I would see different forms of demons as well that weren't cloaked, for example. Yeah, I'm sorry, I kind of lost where you what you asked again. Oh,
Oh, how long? Yeah.
it
How?
continued. Yeah,
Okay.
sorry. That did continue. It eased up once I had my own healing and I met my mentor, who's a really strong psychic medium and Reiki master. So again, what she does is also really dependent on her psychic ability, not just the bare practice of Reiki. So I got a lot of clarity and assistance from her. So it really dialed back when I was around the age of 23, and I went through at least 6 months of healing sessions with her. Like it was a slog because of everything that I had going on. Essentially, these attachments and these contracts for these things to be allowed to torture me and program me like this was made to my body before I went into my body, is what I've since found out. So that's why I was subjected to this, and it took me, my lifetime growing up, figuring it out, and then seeking someone who could help, and then ending that. So around 23, it really dialed back, but I have sporadically, especially the past 2 years, I kicked some shit up. And I have memory of one really clear, very, very MK Ultra like out of body thing that was like less than 6 months ago. So it can come and go like that, but
Elaborate on that experience about 6 months ago or thereabouts.
yeah, I can. It wasn't very long of an experience, and I don't remember how I got there, unfortunately. So I was in a physical space somewhere, and this is common for my out of body experiences. I think I'm mostly between fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and sixth and seventh. Not very often in sixth and seventh, but that's the best that I can figure. So this experience may have been in fourth dimension. So like very close to the earth plane with earth stuff. I don't know if the location was on earth, but it was kind of like a military laboratory setting. And I have had a lot of experiences being in what feels like rooms in military bases. And like I said, military type formats of things is very common from the time I was young. And this particular one that was around 6 months ago, it was a smaller room and like a larger military laboratory type facility. And I was made to sit at the bedside of a man that was strapped to like a hospital bed, who had his body entirely burned, very badly, and was kind of barely alive. And I was pretty much there was like a human military handler in the room. I could they weren't cloaked like beforehand, but their face was obscured. So I don't know if that's a block they instituted or they did something in the setting so I could not see their face. I just knew it was an older white man. But it was essentially I had a choice and I guess like a button of some kind that was like either I can hit this button and make this choice to electrocute him and kill him, or I will receive a shock myself. And I refused to hurt him any further. You know, electrocution isn't like a peaceful way to take him out of his misery. And I don't even know how he got burned like that or what they did to him or who he was. I had no idea. So I said no. And I guess the other thing is I couldn't really physically move where I was. That's something that paralysis thing that happens to me, I can get into later. But so it's not like I had other choices, but I just was like, no. And, you know, F you, basically. And so the handler gets mad because that's not the response they wanted. I think they wanted to have me prove that I had more disconnect and I wasn't as empathetic as I was. And so they hit the switch, and I watched this man get horribly electrified in front of me until he's dead. And the handler is like, you did this. Like, this was your choice. You did this because I didn't choose. And again, that's meant to psychologically, you know, mess with me. But I think in the moment, like, I'm so desensitized because they've done this to me since I was a kid in these spaces. So to me, I'm just like, you know, I hate all of you. And like, you'll get what's coming to you eventually. But yeah, that's just an example.
What happens sometimes, well, frequently actually, when starting in childhood, people are subjected to horrific abuse, a coping mechanism, an innate ability we have within us is to not only dissociate, but at times leave our bodies entirely. And it seemed that you had this innate ability, and whereas others would vacate their body in order to not have to go through the physical torture, right, at the time, consciously. You managed to do that, but also shapeshift in the process. So, whether that was an intended byproduct of what was done to you, or you did that on your own because it had been in the forefront of your consciousness probably before you even came into this earthly embodiment, this incarnation, you just did what was natural to you, and that was shapeshift into a wolf. That's great, actually. And as far as the military aspect, did most of the experiences with the military occur in this other dimensional space, or did some of it also occur in what you would we would regard as the physical 3D?
So as far as those type of experiences, like strictly in the astral when I'm out of my body, I did grow up around a lot of powerful and famous people in a way that I didn't find odd, you know, for the setting, like family, friends, and things like that, and where I'm from. I can figure now as an adult, I don't have specific events to point to, but that there probably was a degree of monitoring and handling very subtly from some of these individuals. That kind of looking back on their behavior toward me kind of seemed like they kind of knew. And anytime I've met people that were higher up in the military and especially anything with intelligence, I've had several people. Like, not really, I mean, not jokingly, but just be like, oh, like you're an asset, right? Or like they are convinced I'm a spy, or there's something that they perceive about me where they take it very, they get kind of scared because they think I'm there like a plant to like monitor them. And I'm always like, no, like I have no idea what you're talking about. But again, that's how compartmentalization works. So, you know, to me, I have no memory or no knowledge of anything like that with myself, but I've been treated that way by several people. Again, like in, you know, positions that aren't a joke. And anything else would be When I was a teenager, around age 16, and just to be clear on this, like a child, not an underage woman, I had contact with a predator that was essentially like a groomer handler that was military, black operations, I suppose. I had some information about this per I mean, some information to me that confirmed it, but I'm also 16. So, but there was about a year's period where I was honestly, I mean, a lot of the things that were done were very heavily overlapped with psychic soldier training. So this is where I had a lot of very profound out of body experiences, and I experienced like heightened paranormal activity around my house and entities coming in sort of the fourth dimension a lot to like monitor me. And I would also have like all the phones in my house were tapped, unmarked vehicles around. So like I kind of went through a period of that type of activity while I was in contact with this person. And it was supposed to evolve into me physically, I guess, being picked up and going somewhere for further training or something. And I just kind of, I think it honestly, I think it was like divine something stepping in to save me, because I didn't understand what was, I didn't know I was being brainwashed at this time and like programmed and all that. You know, I thought this person was helping me. I didn't realize how much danger I was in. And I ended up refusing that. And their contact went dead, and you know, it created a lot of paranoia in me, because I had other activity spring up after refusing, with strange people monitoring me, like where I worked, or emails or phone calls that were strange, mail that came in, like all types of strange things that started happening. So you know, it made me concerned, to say the least.
Knowing any better, it sounds as if they were aware of your innate astral capabilities and were grooming you to be an astral operator, to be able to utilize you in a multidimensional sense. If you had to ascribe a branch of the service, and I hate to break things down into generalistic, simplistic terms, but were you able to discern, A, if they were like a Americans, for example, and B, if there was a particular branch of the service, or was it a combination of a number of branches of the service and perhaps some civilian spooks as well?
I mean, the individual that was, you know, in contact with me, and this was also done remotely. So this year period, I was approached. I'm sure I'm pretty sure I'm on several lists, just even judging by the times I've flown internationally and the amount of like, you just randomly have a security check for no reason. Like it's ridiculous, like how strange airports are with me too.
Wow.
Like I won't go into the stories, but it's honestly insane. Like the things I've been said and the way people react to like whatever shows up on the screen when they scan my passport.
Do they treat
It's
you
really
some,
weird.
do they treat you with some degree of deference? Do they like pull you aside, or do they kind of like treat you special in any way? Could you go into that?
I get pulled over for additional security screenings and like bomb swab, or yeah, like you know how they swab for the residue and a lot of other stuff. Sometimes I've been pulled aside to just have more question, like weird questions, you know, from I guess it would be customs within the airport staff. So not like the not the staff working for the airline necessarily, but you know, just things like that. I had two younger airline staffers, I guess, that weren't as read on how to do this. They scanned my passport and they went, oh no. They're like, you need, oh, okay. They're like, you need to step over here. So I'm like, what's wrong with my passport? You know, like, what's my file like? So it's just, that's just something I've noticed.
Yeah, because there's a built-in anomaly. If you were that much of a threat, then why not just put somebody on a no-fly list instead of always letting them fly around, but then adding this extra layer of security? almost as if it's part of the trauma process, or kind of, if it's a word, reinducing that fear of a here we go again kind of thing. Sean, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, just man, it's just insane. Thankfully, I have not really gone anywhere outside of my province or the province beside me. I've pretty much just been on through car, and I've never really traveled by plane. So, kind of thankful for that, because I would hate to find out what Tacky has gone through and experienced. It really
Sorry,
shows
I
you
didn't
there's
mean
a
to
bunch.
hear him back.
Yeah, right. But it really shows there's a bunch of different factions, and just how gets subverted really the system is throughout the every country. And well, we know evil entities rule this black hue matrix false reality we're in. So yeah, unfortunately all the governments are answering to these different groups, and I'm really sorry Taki had to go through all this horrible stuff he went through.
That's okay.
But I guess the one if you can call it a consolation for all this is these groups and beings don't seem to bother with people who are not, as Tacky's kind of come to terms of, ensouled. And we've had a very in-depth conversation about this, how there are definitely some people who don't really, like, they exist, but they don't really have a continuous soul. And kind of like, I hate to use the term a program, right? Because it kind of dehumanizes them, and that's not correct, but that's what it kind of seems to be. There's a percentage of the population actually has a soul and conscious, and that's what these evil entities and these groups, like, I've been targeted a bit by some of these black magic groups, and they seem to want to go after people specifically who have the spark within them, the spark of God. And they want to use you for whatever abilities and stuff you have. They don't seem to bother too much. Like, they'll take advantage of anyone, but they don't seem to bother too much, especially these alien abductions and stuff. They don't tend to bother with most people who don't have something they're looking after. Like, they'll definitely abduct and use someone, but they seem to be all after harnessing and trying to take advantage of, controlling, abusing, and using anyone who's kind of got that soul, that spark, because it seems to be a big use to them. But sorry, I'm babbling on. Please continue, Taki.
That's okay. To answer your primary question though, James, was I know that the individual that I'll just refer to as a handler, I'm pretty sure would have been Army branch and was American. Don't know about any inner workings with non-Americans. I can like retrieve an information when I stay with it, but I definitely when I about a year after the experience was when I started to I think I actually went like actually started to go through a level of decompartmentalization, realizing what had been done to me and that I was in a ton of danger that I didn't understand at the time. Like some MK Ultra survivors describe going through when everything starts to merge and you figure things out. And like rapidly sought a therapist. So I did end up because of the trauma from the experience. There's a lot of details that I have not thought about in a long time that were pretty blocked. So I can sit with them and retrieve them, but it's almost similar to working with another person and going into their space and retrieving data for them. But yeah, I don't know of I don't know of any program names or anything like that around the handler. I do know that they describe that they basically went through a lot of torture and psychic soldier training on their own, general psychic super soldier. Like they claim to be a super soldier essentially, and they were doing that to me. But they, according to them, they were doing like the nice version, like just to help me. Like I wasn't going to be used for anything. And then that was made clear toward the end of, I guess trying to sort of be recruited in a more official way, that I didn't want to do that. So, yeah, that's kind of
When
how that went.
you mentioned a moment ago about retrieving certain types of information, did you draw it out from somebody's energy fields, from their conscious or subconscious memory, or how did that process work?
So that's sort of Like, honestly, from the time I was a child, I didn't call it like energy working, but I just did that all the time. I was unknowingly kind of always in a level of psychic development and energy manipulation, not in a negative way at all, without having terms for it, because again, I think that's my natural state, is I'm used to being in a form or a body where I can do a lot more. And my consciousness has already developed a lot of these things, but it's integrating it into a human body in the current, like, earth frequency and human frequency is really difficult. So now, if I, work with someone, I get explicit permission, by the way, and everyone should do this. I never spy on people. I have no interest in creating negative karma like that. If I work with someone for healing work, for example, I go off of their field. Their physical field and energetic field, and then there's like a kind of a spiritual layer. And initially it's like I just go into a listening state of what does this have to tell me, or if they have something specific, I find that energy signature, and then it's kind of like seeing in my mind's eye like these lines, and I just follow these threads, and I kind of that's how I refer to it as like pulling information, because it's almost like I'm just pulling a line and seeing what comes up. And that's sort of how I work that way. And it's similar as well for, I guess, the psychic training I did do for recall and getting my recall so well, when I'm out of body and then I wake up, is based on feelings. And I've gone through a few stories for Sean on out of body experiences and how there's attempts to block my memory from things. But if I have a feeling that's too strong, I can get around the block. So a lot of my energy working too is circumventing blocks of things that something may not want me to know or have permission to see, and then I kind of work around it. Feeling like I'll feel things. I feel things also vary physically as well. If I'm working on someone that's really sick, or if something is attacking my field, or if something is being kind and trying to heal me, or something like that, I feel it physically. But it comes through feeling for me first and a knowing. So some people might call it clairsentience. And it's once I feel the data kind of hit me, my spirit, that integrates into my physical nervous system. And then I can start translating that, through the rest of my senses. Like, can I get visuals, like sight, smell, sounds, words, language? So depending on what I'm communicating with or what the energy is, certain sensory data is easier for me to translate over compared to others. So it's just a case-by-case basis difference.
And I guess what a good example we could do of this, if you want, James, is you did a kind of two different sessions. One was with Taki actually talking to my oval soul, higher self, however you want to call it, and then a healing one we just did a few weeks ago. And pretty interesting information. I don't know, Taki, do you want to go over that and kind of give people an idea, just the depth of how this healing and this knowledge kind of works?
Well, that's your call because that's your private information. So I never disclose
Oh,
client information.
I can give the gist of it then, pretty much. First thing we found out was my full oversoul self. Like, I'm from a completely different civilization that's not connected to the evil groups here on Earth at all. Completely different civilization, but they had come and kind of interacted with what is now the UK, Northern Europe, the Scandinavian countries, even like the border of France in the Celtic region. And this goes back like way Europe was mostly tribal up to like I would say, so it's back, what was the name, Doggerland, I think. The Doggerland landmass that connected the UK with the rest of Europe existed to after that, for a period of time, up to like where the Celts were, and then kind of shut down because things weren't going well, and the best decision was to separate ourselves and let humanity be, because there were some abuses being undertaken by mankind with some of the stuff and knowledge I was given. And then unfortunately the bad reps kind of moved in, filled in the void, the power vacuum, right after my group left. Which explained a lot of things, some struggles I have with what's going on right now here in the West and stuff like that. It connects all those reasons together why I feel that way. But it was very interesting talking to my fuller self, the civilization I'm from. And James, you'll find it's really interesting. So a lot of people, when they talk about these other civilizations and entities, some of them are not very colorful. They're very like almost brutal architecture and stuff like that. The civilization I'm from, and as you can kind of tell, it's a good civilization. It's much more about beauty, beautiful architecture, sculpture, things like that. So it was actually a really positive place, which is really good because I thought for a long while I was part of it from a bad group. But no, I'm actually from a good group. And then in our second session, we kind of figured out something bad that one group we were working with a different group, and they became going quite bad. Yeah, and so we pulled ourselves away at that point. We kind of pulled out and said, "Nope, we're not working with you anymore because you're bad." And that's where this group, these Draegor who are harassing me, they're from that group, and they come to harass me in this life because they still have a grudge against me for the past, and pretty much built them, canceled any of the authority, which they didn't have much, but they kind of go on and on and on about it. It's quite a shocking, almost immature in a way, but kind of sad, kind of a lot of pity for them. It's not a good state to be in. But we learned some things, like also I used something of a salt ball, and I get particularly salt, kind of Celtic salt from that region. And I will say, yeah, like my health, like James, I used to have skin, like some skin health issues, really dry skin, just general, unwellness at times. All that pretty much vanished when I began using this. And the very first time I used this salt ball, one of them came in my room. They never showed themselves, but they made it very clear, my tapping and scratching the walls and stuff, that they were there. Very displeased. So I got to just rebuke them out of my room and rebuke them out of the house pretty much. But they're very displeased. So this stuff is really helping me, and it keeps them away to an extent. Even though they already keep them away with faith, this stuff really does help. So that's been a fascinating thing to learn.
Can you
Which
send
is
me
another
information
healing.
about that kind of salt?
Yes, it's Celtic grey salt. So a
Celtic
grey
gray
Celtic
salt.
salt. Yeah.
It was explained or shown, but it was also something for Sean specifically with his genetics and that particular reptilian race. So I think it was something with the salt being from UK, like again, like Celtic salt, the location. But also it was essentially called black salt. So there is something in I won't say witchcraft, just earthcraft, like general, the kind of lost information that got turned into religions and dark
Well,
practices
it's
that's just using
even
natural
in
things.
a lot of there are Christian groups that do put salt around inches of your house, stuff like that. So it is it's just basic natural tools that help you out. Like God meant for you to understand stuff to use. And again, this gray salt is particularly connected to that past history, and eventually that my home world. Like there's still portals that kind of exist within that area, certain spots, and so there's that overlapping connection. Hence, with having this on me kind of reconnects my body back there and heals myself. And I'll say, you'll find this very interesting, James. My fuller self said to Taki and confirmed with me later that yes, my body, my physical body, is a very high concentration of their DNA, of their reptilian DNA, right? Not of the bad ones here on Earth, but of that civilization, which is why I'm able to inhabit his body and have that walk-in experience. So we've
Yeah, they
confirmed that.
kind of when we did like, well, I just connected and it was immediate. I need to show you history, so I just listened, and it was pretty much the biggest reason why there's so much like political beef between these two reptilian groups, and that Sean is a part of the good one. Sean's reptilian group, their lineage a long time ago when they opened their sort of, I guess, stargates or little portal thresholds between where they live and points on the earth in Europe. They made contracts with a few humans and they started hybridizing into bloodlines with them as a pact and a promise sort of thing. And it was done in a very correct, like benevolent, loving way. So I think the surviving, it's very diluted now, but that surviving bloodline, I think it is in Sean's current body. And I think that's why he was able to have the walk-in experience around nine that he describes.
Well, that makes sense to me. I definitely have a connection with that part of the world as well, not only in the ancient and medieval periods, but probably long before that. So this is all music to my soul, really. And Taki, it seems that these forces, both interdimensional and perhaps terrestrial as well. They seem to be
Yeah.
aware of you, your lineage. Without going into too many specifics, can you tell us a bit about your heritage, your DNA, and probably has to do with prior incarnations? Because Sean mentioned that, and this has happened to other people as well, that some of our nemesis and foes from previous parallel incarnations, and when we're not even human or we're something else, they still hold these vendettas and grudges against us, and they still mess with us, even though we're not even consciously aware of why they're coming around. But anyhow, I digress. Could you tell us a bit about your background? And there must be something in your DNA profile and your energy bodies that make you ideal for this kind of work.
The really interesting thing is I only found this out last October. I went to sleep like normal. There's too many details. I would love to go into them, but there's too many for me to name right now. But I had an out of body where I was revealed a lot of information. I went through a lot of different astral locations and talked to different people, and I got this huge amount of information on what happened to me before I was born and put a lot of puzzle pieces together. But essentially, like I mentioned before, with my consciousness and forming a sort of like soul family group of beings that I have incarnated with as humans, and we've incarnated as a family together in human families over and over. For my current lifetime here, I was meant to incarnate with them, and they're in a totally different country, like in Central Asia. And there was a decision made to break the contract for me specifically to incarnate into my mom. And something occurred, like to me, it felt like I got immediately snatched and pulled. And there's an element of interdimensional machinery here too that I remember. But I got taken. Wrongfully, I never agreed to a contract to my current body, but I think the ethnic mix and other history through my Native American line in this body, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of correlation with I guess anything related to werewolf shapeshifting in the Native line. That is a very evil version of it. And I guess that compatibility with Central Asia genetics, because I mean it's in the weeds a bit, but there's been like haplogroup studies, for example, on certain native tribes, same as like Siberian people, for example, in that area of Asia. So I think there that was enough of a genetic compatibility, or maybe just a lineage of shapeshifters in the Native American line, whether it was good or bad, and it made me compatible enough. But again, I was still born with half of myself out of my body, and I was so sick when I was born with everything you can imagine, and I had to deal with that growing up. And it wasn't until I hit my teens where I started to find out how to heal myself and learn a lot about energy and health. So to answer your question, I had like my spirit family and correct genetics for I guess some people that were from like a good wolf race or whatever you want to call that. And that contract got broken for several reasons. And I was taken against my will and put into this body that I was then born into. But there were, there was some type of overlap. My ethnicity now is almost, it's fuzzy, but it's like almost a split, but like third split between Slavic mix, Native American, and Scotch-Irish. If anyone's unfamiliar as well, I think this is declassed now, but I remember hearing super soldiers as well as my handlers say that when they were developing these programs for both super soldier, but specifically psychic soldiers, these government programs found that a mix between Scotch-Irish and Native American tribes was the most adept at training psychic ability. So they sought those out in particular.
And you see the parallel with the alien abduction syndrome as well. I'm not saying that it's the case in all abduction lineages, but certainly the various ET groups have an interest in the Scotch, Welsh, Irish, English, Native American mix. Evie Lorgan and I were talking about that a while back, that they just seem to know who these people are, what their genetic profile is, and they zero in on them because they're does seem to be innate metaphysical powers contained within that DNA profile, and also the genetic memory and the Akashic memory, if you will, from all the previous incarnations, because typically some of those people have had in those bloodlines have had off-world parallel types of ET incarnations as well. So we're getting in really deep. And final thoughts before we end this first fascinating segment. You talked about your lineage there. And Sean, when you first connected with Taki, what was it about her overall story that really like set off bells within you? Because you've got quite a story as well, but what are some of the parallels right off the top of your head between your story and Taki's?
Well, I think one of the things that really ticked me off was the fact that she could feel the overlay of her actual form, her true form, over her body, which
That's a
I
very good
can as
point.
well. Yeah, that was a huge kind of tick off going, okay, no, she's feeling exactly what I'm feeling, and that is, an absolute kind of hitting the nail on the head. Like there is definitely a shared relation, and she's got to be speaking the truth. And so we talked in further and further, and we got to know each other a bit more and explain things. And we found just a lot of different parallels, right? About a lot of stuff that explained similar views, same conclusions about the nature of reality and institutions and the way the world is and kind of what's going on. We had our differences, different views, of course, but in generally, we've aligned really closely in our views because our experiences, shared experiences, have led us to the same conclusions. And that kind of all connected. It's very interesting when Taki talks about the some of the health problems and stuff. I know when we talked to my fuller self, we kind of found out the whole situation. I was in the surgery room and I actually was in a different realm with my fuller self, and then I woke and kind of came back to my body. A major part of that was because my fuller self told through Taki later was pretty much a bunch of stuff was done to me to kill me earlier, to get rid of me, right? And so something had to be done to heal and set things right, because otherwise I'd be dead within X amount of time, way before I'm supposed to go. And these evil entities that rule this black cube matrix, which Taki has talked about extensively, and I think that'd be a good place to start in the next episode. But it connects to the moon, which is channels from Saturn, which is where probably the fallen are being imprisoned. And yeah, they're running this kind of like overlay black cube over the Earth, and right now it's kind of beginning to fall apart. And that's why you see some of this so much insanity and madness and evil, is because they're in full panic because they're losing everything. They're done for, and they can't screw around the timelines to go back anymore. But that's why they kind of sense when we, me, Tacky, and you, kind of James, and everyone else who comes into here, they can know, figure out, yeah, you're coming into here because they have control of this overlay over the Earth, and that's why they're able to sense us when we come in and come out and have the influence they do.
Yes,
Yes,
I think
absolutely. Oh, please continue.
just they're very aware. To me, what I've gathered from my experience, Sean, and other people's, is it's like for Sean specifically, it felt the information felt like it was pointing to the negative reptilian group that particularly target his bloodline. If they knew his soul was contracted to that body, they tried to destroy it to prevent it from going in. So that was their karmic decision to do that. And I'm sure there's cases like that that happen all the time. They either want to, I guess, like with me, for example, right? Like my consciousness had this capability. And at some point between shape shifting into all of the animals and monitoring the ecosystems, when I agreed to join the human incarnation loop, I did something. I don't have the full details of this yet, but I definitely did something where I retained this werewolf shape-shifting thing. So the structure of my light would have determined the way my DNA sits in the human incarnation lines, if that makes sense. So from what I can understand, the werewolf form is very connected to like nature on Earth specifically, which I find interesting. But it's essentially like warrior form and gatekeeping. not in a psychological way, but keeper of the pathways, keeper of the ways, and healing as well. Like Anubis's archetype kind of covers a lot of my experiences. So they either want to eliminate you before you can come in, or they want to take you and kind of break you and fully control you to exploit you as a weapon. And that's what they tried to do in my case, in my opinion. And it just didn't really take through my teens. And then I kind of saw a period of peace because I totally shut off my psychic senses after I got healed because I was too scared. I didn't want to go back to that place. I just wanted to be healthy and function for once. So I spent a few years doing that. And then later, I started learning Reiki under my mentor. And I was like, okay, I guess maybe I could be an energy healer or do something with that. And as soon as I opened that up and started developing my abilities more and healing others and healing myself, I had an insane uptick in activity and further recruitment attempts from in the astral from satanic people, people that I would identify energy-wise as vampires. These are like real humans that are alive here right now, and demonic entities that look like evil-looking werewolves. So, like, I've been attacked by those things as well. I know a lot of people have. So, I don't mean to share my story to belittle like being afraid of them, because there definitely are bad ones and there are ones that aren't bad, like myself. But I'm still trying to figure out the details of all that, like everybody else.
We've got a lot to go over in the second segment because I want to go over that and also get into this black cube issue. Well, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest Taki and Sean. For those of you listening, my channel, the YouTube channel, has been heavily censored. Our views have been shut down radically. We're not getting any suggestions on any other channels. So I'd really encourage the listeners to click like, and if you haven't already done so, please hit subscribe as well. We're going to create a couple of extra YouTube channels in order to get around all this censorship. And the censorship has actually followed us to our other platforms on Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute, etc. Our views are being held down in a big way. So anything you can do, folks, to help get us out there by clicking like, subscribe, and sharing our podcast would be greatly appreciated. So we're just getting started, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment, dear listeners.